Today's scripture reading comes from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 and verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing made that was made. We'll skip to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Good morning. Great to be together this morning. First day of the week. And as we gather together, when we fellowship with one another, we think about Christ's death. We think about his resurrection and we rejoice in those things. And we thank God that we have eternal life through him. And it's good to be here together. And we want to make sure that we welcome our guests. We're glad that you're with us this morning. And we hope that you'll come back and be with us again. And we hope that you find today to be edifying as far as our study of God's Word, and participation and worship as well. And we're happy to have you with us, and we hope that you can, if you're looking for a church home, that you have a place here. This morning, we're going to be looking at the subject of the preeminence of Jesus Christ and His glory. Now, preeminence meaning He is far greater, more significant than anybody else in creation. And this time of the year, in December, I've got Mark to talk about Christ, his purpose, and why he has come into this world. And there's multiple reasons for that. This is the time of the year that a lot of people are thinking about the birth of Jesus, and I want to be able to use that as an opportunity to share the gospel with others. This is also the time of the year that most people who are unbelievers, who have left the faith, are more likely to come back and be in fellowship and be in church again and to hear the truth again. This is a great time for that. And it's a good time for us to be prepared and ready. As we talk to our coworkers, our friends, and our neighbors, to be able to talk to them and invite them to be a part of church, to be and hear the gospel message, to hear how great Jesus is and how wonderful he is and how much a blessing his gospel is to us, this is a great time of the year to do that. And so this morning, I thought it'd be good to look at the preeminence of Christ. Now, in my head, I'm thinking, we're going to be looking at the glory of Christ. We're looking at some wonderful details about Jesus. But I'm also going to go toward just pulling the message out of the text. And so while I'm thinking about, you know, what we're going to be looking at as far as the wonder of Jesus, and I think we get a lot of that from Brother Philip's reading in John chapter 1, and how Christ came in the flesh, how the Word became flesh. This morning, I'm going to put this more in the context of Colossians chapter 1 and what it says about Jesus and how wonderful and great he is. I can't take it out of that context. I want to leave it within what is Paul saying to this young church in Colossae. We see this is very true. A person's understanding of God shapes how they view the world, how they view everything, the things that go on in society, their beliefs and where they stand as far as politics, the job, the occupation that they have, the spouse they choose, how they live their life, how they treat others. It all centers around our view of God, the way that we view the world. And so our view of Jesus has a great impact on us. And I think we need to realize how much others around us can change our thinking. I want you to think about that. There's probably some area of thinking in your life where you do not include God. You might be thinking, well, I don't want it to be that way. There probably is. I was thinking about it yesterday. I've often thought about it, and I've brought up this before. There are certain areas, specifically in sports or athletics, a lot of people don't think like that, where they don't bring God into it. And I love it when a game is won, a football game, or some sports, and people give glory to God and thank him for the help and the blessings that have been given to him. And yet, some don't do that at all. And some people, when they think about maybe anything like that, they don't include God in it. But I hope that we do. I hope that whether we're doing any kind of activity, whether it's in sports or work or any recreation or things, times we're spending with our family, that we want to include God in it. That we're not allowing this thing to come into our life that is secular and has nothing to do with our Creator, and we kind of whitewash it and allow the media and the TV to tell us, well, right now, I don't have to think about that. Right now, I'm just going to watch this show on TV and ignore what my morals are or what my foundation of faith is in Jesus. And I hope that we don't do that. But I think you'll find there are certain areas in your life, like I do, that I challenge myself and say, God belongs here. He belongs in every part of my life and everything that I do and everything that I think about. And oftentimes, many don't think that way. In many different areas, people go to work, and the only time they're really thinking about God is on Sunday or maybe in the morning, and maybe they open their Bible and later in the evening. But in the middle of the day, all my mind is on something else. Well, we want to change that. And so here we have Paul writing to this young church in Colossae, and he's encouraging them, and he's teaching them, and he wants them not to go away from Jesus Christ because they're doing this. They're taking things in the world, and they're blending it with the gospel. They're blending it in. And maybe they got certain things in their life where, oh, they're saying, oh, Jesus and God don't belong there. Shame on them for that. Shame on us for doing such a thing. And God belongs in every part of our life, everything that we do. If we find that he doesn't, we don't see how it goes in, we need to be cutting that thing out of our life. But this is what we read here in Colossians chapter 1, 9 through 10. Paul says, I want you to know God. And he says, and so from the day we heard and we have not ceased to pray for you, hearing about your faith, hearing about your convictions, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So as I read this, I see Paul saying to this young church, we want you to grow in every way, every good work and everything and every blessing, to bear fruit, to do these great things, to walk in a way that is worthy of God and pleasing to him. What do you need? You know what we're praying for? What I'm seeking for you, Paul says to that church, that you have spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we as Christians want that. We need to desire that. I want to have that kind of understanding. I want to be filled with the knowledge of his will. Are we doing that? I want to be filled with the knowledge of his will. And Paul is saying this because he knows what the threats are. He sees threats coming from the left and the right. He sees Jewish influence of Judaism coming in. He sees the Greco-Roman world. He sees Jewish mysticism, all of these things. And when people assume these different beliefs and they bring it into the church, it corrupts it. We see it throughout history. People bring their sins into the church. You see it happening now. People bringing in various sins. Throughout history, you see people bringing in racism and other evils into the church and trying to compromise the gospel when they don't belong, where they don't go together, when they should be, those wicked things and those things in the world should be done away with. So Paul, again, wants this church, I want you to do this. I want you to focus on this, having the spiritual wisdom, knowing God and Christ. And he says, I want you to focus on this because this is how you stay away from those false teachings, those things where people want to blend things together. And in the first century, that's very much what was in their thinking. And they're thinking, well, I believe this. I've always believed this about the gods. I've always believed that there is a man who saw many layers of heaven and had these special visions, and I accept that, and I want to blend it in. And that was part of Jewish mysticism. I want to blend it in with the gospel. Well, I believe that circumcision is essential to receiving God's promises. And so they blended it in with the gospel, and the Bible says that it is wrong. And again, we can make a whole long list of them. You can do it yourself right now and just think about what people did then and what they do now. Well, why don't you think a little further about that? Got a little multiple choice question for you right here. What really keeps people from believing? I was reading this week an article talking about why so many young people are leaving when they go off to college, leaving Christ. Why is it that so many are drifting away? I think the simple answer would be already what we've presented today. They're not viewing the world through Christ. They're allowing other things to come in. And so we can ask here a multiple choice question. What is causing this? What's driving people away? So A, is it their worldview is shaped by society? You see that today. It's, don't you have compassion on this group over here? They're depicted as victims because of the way they live in immoral sexual lives, and that you were supposed to ally and choose them over God and over Christ first, or that you were to take that and blend that in with your faith. And so our teenagers and our children are being fed this stuff. They're turning on their TV and saying, don't you see these people are just as kind and nice, even though they're an atheist, even though they're a homosexual, even though they're living in an immoral lifestyle? That's what's being fed into our homes through television, the internet, and the media, through the news.
And so a reason that many of the youth are falling away today is because their worldview is not shaped by Christ. It's not shaped by the knowledge of Jesus. It's shaped by what the world is telling them. Now, some also have this conflicting emotion. To be more specific, they have suffering in their life. I don't like it. My mom or my dad didn't treat me right when I was growing up. I didn't have the things that I needed or wanted. There's so much suffering in this world. I lost a member of my family. I struggled with a disease. Why would God allow these things? And so it becomes very emotional. Or maybe one of the main things that keeps people is just the lack of reason. You see, when we don't have the wisdom that's in Jesus, we can't reason or think in a way that is pleasing to God. We're no longer rational or logical. And doesn't it seem that way when you talk to somebody in the world and they reject the gospel? They just seem very irrational. Don't seem very logical. And I think a lot of it comes right down to this. You can't think right. You can't do anything in any profession, from science to history or whatever it is, without thinking through God and his existence. And so we look at these things. Is it the worldview? Is it conflicting emotion? Is it lack of reason? And so the conclusion was, well, D, all of them. We see this. We see the lack of Jesus Christ shaping the way that we think. I see it all the time, even among members of the church. Well, I think this. My views on politics are this, or my view of how things should be done in the world is this way, and whatever influence comes from, it might be from their parents or their friends, their peers, it could be coming from the television and the media just constantly bombarding us with these things, that we look at it and say, well, the way I view things, and because of my conflicting and suffering in this life, I really don't want to think in a way which includes God. So it all comes down. And so today, as we look at this study and we look at how important Jesus is and having him in a part of every part of our life and every part of our thinking, I think this morning you should be able to see it very clearly. Comprehensively, you could put it like this. It is sin. It is ungodliness and unrighteousness that clouds our eyes and blinds us. And we use it and suppress the truth. And the Bible tells us that. Jesus says that. He says people don't come to the light because they don't want to be exposed. So one of the greatest threats to faith in the gospel are those blending the gospel with other things. Well, I believe in evolution. So they'll take their faith and they'll take the belief that animals have evolved over millennia and they blend it in and say, well, I can't accept Genesis now. And they'll say, well, I believe in billions of years. And even though Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, they believe, well, in the beginning, God created the heavens, and then 9 billion years later, he created the earth. It doesn't go along with the scriptures. And they start blending it, not seeing the conflicts and what is happening and how their view in the world is being changed. And it leads them into false teaching. And it compromises their belief in God and their belief in Christ and the way that they live a life. No longer can they live a life that is worthy and pleasing to God. And so Paul's addressing the church at Colossae, and he's saying, listen, you need to change the way that you behave. You need to realize who is the head, that Christ is the head of the church, that he is the preeminent one, that he is the fullness of God bodily. A lot of false teachers going around today and say Jesus was just a man. Some say, well, he was God, but he's a God among gods. And that's even going on today. Different cults, different perceptions. Some will say, well, he was half God and half man. But that's not what the Bible teaches either. Listen to what Colossians 2, what Paul is emphasizing in this church. Don't go along with these false ideas. Recognize who Jesus is. In Colossians 2, 8 through 10, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. Well, how are we going to do that? How are we going to keep these other ideas from affecting us? And he says, these philosophies and empty deceit that come from human tradition, according to the elementary spirits of the world. In other words, the demons, the influences of the world, the elementary spirits, and not according to Christ. You see the big difference? What's been messing up their view of the world? Because they're not thinking according to Christ. And Paul says, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. In other words, this is God in his fullness in Jesus Christ. There's no reason for you to be questioning his authority or questioning his words. What he says is truth and it is right. and he is greater than any authority in the world. No religious authority is greater than him. There is no other ruling authority, no ruler, no leader of the United States. The nation of the United States is nowhere close to it in its politics and anything close to the preeminence and the authority of God. It doesn't belong there. It doesn't blend together. Christ is the authority. And he says, for in him, that is in Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Jesus is 100% human, 100% God, fully man, fully God, and he is still God bodily because he rose from the dead. And then Paul says, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. You have been filled. What are we supposed to be filled with? He emphasizes, even in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, says, be filled with the word of God. Be filled with it, every part of your life. You start thinking about the traditions that many people want to add to Christ, the laws they want to add to the Bible. Those things don't belong. What belongs is Christ, because he is the substance. We see this. We continue to read in Colossians 2, and Paul says, you're going to these traditions, you're going with these all these strange, weird beliefs. They're clouding your mind. They're blinding you. He says, but the substance is of faith and action in Jesus Christ. The substance is Christ. So in other words, everything that I do, it is based on Jesus. Whatever I do throughout the work, I do it to the glory of God. Paul says that in Colossians chapter 3. He says, everything I do, it's Colossians 3, 17, down to verse 23, and I do it in service to God. Whether I'm teaching my children or what my occupation is or whether I'm going to school and doing a test in math or science, I do it for God, every bit of it. And so Paul has to say, to this young church, you can't be blending other things. It's all Jesus. It's all him. And so as we open our Bibles, we begin to see this. There's a preeminence and glory given to Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, I want you to read this. When I read these passages and I think about them, all I can do is stand in awe of God and what he has done. I want you to think about these. These are my observations real quick before we read the text. What essential teachings did Paul believe this church needed to know? Now, you might make your own list. You're like, if it's a new church, I'm going to tell them, well, you need elders, and you need baptism, and you need to do this. Well, some of that we get in the book of Colossians. Paul even says, you've died with Christ in baptism to rise in the newness of life, right there in Colossians. He emphasizes it. He teaches it. He ingrains that in them. But you know what Paul gives this church? To stay away from error? He says, I want you to be in awe of Jesus. And so he tells them that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. You know how you were created in the image of God? That image is Jesus Christ. He also says that Jesus is the firstborn. Now, firstborn here does not mean that he was the first created or anything like that. In fact, the text says he was created before all things, but it says that he is the foremost. In fact, Jesus wasn't the first one to be resurrected, but the Bible says in Colossians, he's the firstborn from the dead. He was the foremost. He was the one who rose from the dead with glory, who came to this earth, God in the flesh incarnate. And he says, you need to recognize that and stand in awe of it. He says this, because God created all things through Christ, and Christ is before all things, then Christ was not created. He says that Christ is everything. And so God, it says, God created all things for Christ, for his honor and his praise, right there in the text. And you go and you read that, and it says everything was made for this purpose. Why were you made? Why did God create you? Paul says the reason you even exist and have life is because all things were made for him, for Christ, for his glory. And so Paul says, Christ is the head of the body, the head of the church. He has to say, I want you to read this with me and make your own observations. This is what Paul says. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. And then it goes on to say, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to him himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Now, from this, Paul is going to build, and he says, this is who Jesus is, and the only way to have salvation is through him. A lot of people today would say, well, if you're of a different religion and you're kind and you're nice, then you'll be okay. But that's not what the Bible says. They only say through Jesus. So why did the Apostle Paul want this young church to know these things about Jesus? He wants them so they won't go astray. He wants them to know the source of their salvation, the purpose for their lives, the thing that Christ is the one who should be in every part of their life. In Colossians 1, 19 and 22, he says, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven. Notice this, that Jesus came in the flesh to bring the world and reconcile humanity and its sinfulness with a holy God. And it can only be done through Jesus, who lived without sin and died a death he didn't deserve. And he says, and you who were once alienated and hostile, that was us, hostile, alienated, and doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in the body of his flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Only by Jesus can I stand holy before God. I can tell myself, well, I'm a good person, and when I stand before God, he'll see all my goodness. He knows my heart. You hear that. I hear it all the time. And the Bible tells us, no, it's going to be on the holiness of Jesus. That we ourselves have done evil things, and we've alienated ourselves from God. And the only way to be saved is through him. And then finally, Paul says, he says, if you want this salvation, it only comes through Jesus. It comes in this way. If indeed you continue in the faith, so I might believe, but I've got to continue in that faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. All the gospel had gone out to the world at this time. And he says to them, the way you can avoid these errors and shifting from the faith is to remain faithful. Continue in the faith. Don't go after these teachings. Remain stable and steadfast. How many Christians do we see today who do that? Oh, I'm tired of hearing it. I can't endure it anymore. Never a word should come out of our mouth like that regarding Christ and who he is. And so Paul has written all these things about the glory of Jesus for this very purpose, that we don't allow the media and our peers and other things around us to want us to mix those other beliefs in with the gospel. They don't go together. All those vain philosophies, those traditions, they don't belong. So what are Christians to do with all the human precepts and teachings? Throw them away. We have Christ. Before we finish this morning, I want you to take a look at this passage. It gives us an answer here. If with Christ you died to the elementary spirits of the world, you've died to all the things in the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Why are you making up these new rules? In other words, he says, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. Those indeed have an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism, which means to hurt yourself, and severity to the body, but they are no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. And so you have different religions out there telling us you need to take 40 days of fasting, or you need to follow this, and all these forms of self-made religion that sometimes we like these rules, and we like these celebrations, and we like these traditions, but they really don't draw us closer to Christ. We need to look to him. And Paul says, why are you going back to these things? Put those regulations away. I encourage you this morning, read through Colossians again. Read why it is that the Bible writers keep telling us how wonderful Christ is and what he's done and the great promises that come through us, because when our focus is on Jesus, he should be shaping the way that we view the world, the way that we understand sin, the way that we face the things that are being thrown at us from the media, from TV shows, from the news, whatever it might be. Christ stands supreme. Let him shape the way that you think, and that will keep you away from any error. This morning, we offer you what Paul offered to the Colossians and told to them. He says, forgiveness is only in Jesus Christ. You have all your sins washed away, and you can have forgiveness of every single trespass and sin in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. But that means you believing, And that means you dying with Christ to your sins, being buried in baptism, and rising up in the newness of life. This is what he said. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you are raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. This morning, you can have that salvation. You can be forgiven of all your sins. You can come to him and wash them away in the blood of Christ. If you've been struggling with a sin, you need prayers and encouragement. We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you. We want to encourage you to live a life focused on Jesus. We encourage you to come right now while we stand and while we sing. Please come.